11 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Peter Apathy, and this is Raven News. The Sitka Assembly unanimously approved the latest design for the expansion of Kettleson Memorial Library at its regular meeting Tuesday night. In a work session before the meeting, the Assembly heard from Library Director Sarah Bell and from Paul Volkers of MRV Architects in Juneau, which is designing the renovation. Bell said the new building is being designed to accommodate the changing role of libraries in the 21st century.
I think what libraries are evolving to is it's somewhat of a community center. It's a place where people can come and share what they're, what they're consider important.
To that end, the new design features two folding walls that would allow the library to open up the full space for large events or curtain off separate, nearly soundproof rooms to allow for multiple smaller gatherings at once. And despite a 60% expansion, the library will have about the same amount of shelf space for books. Bell and Volker said that as people increasingly access nonfiction research and reference materials online, libraries are focusing their physical collections on things like fiction. In an exchange with Assemblymember Phyllis Hackett, Bell said that maintaining a physical collection of books is no longer the library's sole mission.
So we are cleaning the collection right now. We are weeding that collection.
Is there room in this design to add more stacks if need be?
Well, that's not the direction libraries are headed.
The new design includes a separate room for computers and technology and an expanded teen section, removed from the children's area and separated from the main space by a glass wall. This is architect Paul Volkers.
Teen population library use is a key growing element that libraries everywhere are experiencing. A lot of collaborative school projects, socialization, all of those kind of things have really pushed teen use of public libraries, so it's a nice phenomenon.
However, Bell said, Kettleson must also continue to serve a large constituency of older users who like the traditional library experience.
Not everybody wants to download to a Kindle or a computer. Maybe they like their CDs. Maybe they like, So we try to meet all, we try to meet all those needs. You can download audiobooks and ebooks through Kettleson, through the state library, and you can come in and use computers if you so desire, but you can also come in and pick up a magazine or a newspaper. So we have this really wide range, from little tots to people who are far away from being little tots.
Volker said the building will be modern in another way as well. When finished, it should be the most energy efficient building in town. The library has over $6 million on hand for the project, $5.7 million from the state, and $450,000 in donations and fundraising. It's still hoping to raise another $265,000 to cover additional features, including the second folding wall, outdoor landscaping, and better interior carpeting and furniture. Volker said he expects to have a final design ready by May, with construction to begin in August 2014. Public Works Director Michael Harmon said the goal is to finish construction on the library before construction on the Centennial Building begins in 2015. And Sitkins missed out on an opportunity to learn more about the Affordable Care Act Wednesday afternoon. Representatives from Enroll Alaska, a healthcare navigator run by Northrend Benefits Group, canceled their scheduled presentation to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce. However, another navigator did manage to get into Wrangell on Tuesday, and she met with KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver to answer some basic questions about the new law.
The Affordable Care Act is the same thing as Obamacare. The latter is just a nickname, sometimes used to describe the act, which lays out the new healthcare system in the United States. Monique Martin is a government relations specialist with the Alaska Native Health Consortium. She was in town to answer some of the most common questions about the Affordable Care Act and how it will impact rural Alaskans. Here are some of those questions. Who is eligible to sign up for a health insurance plan under the Affordable Care Act?
So pretty much what I encourage folks to do is think about themselves and each member of their family. Do they have insurance now? So do you have access through insurance through your employer or maybe your spouse's employer? For you, your children, do you have access to Medicare, Medicaid, Denali Kid Care, or veteran benefits, then if you have those types of insurance, you're good. You don't have to worry about the Affordable Care Act. Really, it's for folks who are maybe paying a lot through COBRA, or maybe just don't have access to insurance, or, you know, really maybe paying a lot even through their employer for coverage. You can go to healthcare.gov and enter some information and see if you qualify and maybe even qualify for a subsidy.
Does everyone have to sign up for a healthcare plan?
Well, as part of the law, each of us as citizens of the U.S. need to show that we have healthcare coverage. So each one of us should be able to look at our circumstance, our spouse, our children, maybe our grandparents or other relatives, and think, do they have healthcare coverage? Because every one of us should be able to show that we have healthcare coverage, or we could face a tax penalty without that coverage.
What is the tax penalty, and how much would I have to pay if I don't sign up for an insurance plan?
So if you think that your insurance is just too expensive, or you have personal beliefs and you don't want to purchase insurance, there's a tax penalty for those who aren't able to prove that they have insurance. And a lot of folks have told me, well, it's just $95. I'll just pay that $95. Well, the tax penalty is a little bit more lengthy than that. So you could actually pay up to 1% of your household income. So if you're a family maybe earning $50,000 a year, your tax penalty would actually be $500 for the year. So I like people to understand it's not just as cut and dry as $95. So that's a big one.
I already have health insurance. Can I stay on my current plan, or do I have to sign up for something new?
That's a big question we get a lot. Most people can stay, you know, their employer's insurance might be changing a little bit. Many plans have to come up to the new requirements of the Affordable Care Act. So a lot of folks we've talked to haven't seen many changes if they have employer-sponsored insurance. Really depends on the situation. They might be seeing some small tweaks and changes based on the new law. But a lot of folks we've talked to are just able to keep their insurance from their employer. Maybe if they've purchased insurance directly from like Premera, they might see some changes that way. But employer-sponsored insurance is really staying pretty much the same.
If I stay on my current insurance plan, how will my coverage change under the Affordable Care Act?
What we found is that some people are seeing improvements to their insurance from that they have it through an employer, because things like preventative care should be provided at no cost, no copay, no deductible. So there's some changes people are starting to see to insurance that way.
If I want to sign up for a new plan, is there a deadline, or can I do it any time?
Yeah, there's been a couple changes to deadlines. So now if someone wants insurance to begin January 1st, they have until December 23rd to buy it. So it was pushed way back. And then there was a change also. So as long as someone has purchased insurance by March 31st, they will not face a tax penalty.
That was Monique Martin of the Alaska Native Health Consortium answering some common questions on the Affordable Care Act. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
Most halibut charter boat operators will be operating under a new regulatory system next year. They expect their clients will get to keep fewer fish, but they'll also be able to purchase the opportunity to keep more. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration just announced it will implement what's called a catch-sharing plan starting next year. It covers charter halibut fisheries in southeast and central Gulf of Alaska waters, known as Regulatory Areas 2C and 3A. Julie Spiegel is a spokeswoman for NOAA Fisheries.
The halibut catch-sharing plan is designed to provide fishery managers with greater precision in setting halibut catch limits and management measures. Those management measures then can be more responsive to changes in the halibut biomass and fishing effort.
The current system sets a guideline harvest level for the charter fleet. Officials say that failed to prevent overfishing as the charter sector grew. The new plan instead allocates that fleet a percentage of a combined catch limit, which also includes the commercial harvest. Commercial fishermen have long been regulated by such limits, which rise and fall each year, depending on the estimated size of the halibut population. Heath Hilliard is executive director of the Southeast Alaska Guides Organization, a regional charter fishing coalition. He says the plan will have an impact on his industry.
And this year, even though there's been an uptick in abundance in Area 2C, it's still going to translate to somewhere in the neighborhood of about a 30,000-pound decline in our overall allocation for 2014.
That's about a 4% reduction. Hilliard says the catch share plan will affect Central Gulf charters from Southeast's Cross Sound to the far end of Kodiak Island more than those in the Panhandle.
We've already taken a fair number of hits over the last, 4 to 5 years. So they're now facing today what we were facing 5 years ago.
For instance, Southeast charter clients have been limited to one halibut a day instead of two since 2009. The catch sharing plan has been on the table for years. It's bounced back and forth between regulatory agencies and the courts and continues to have critics. Commercial fishing groups have pushed for the plan as a way to scale back the charter catch. Kathy Hansen is executive director of the Halibut Coalition, a commercial fisheries organization.
The Halibut Catch Share Plan is a compromise that was developed, and it's as good as the commercial sector is going to get for an allocation that reflects the abundance of the halibut resource between the two sectors.
The plan also includes a provision allowing individual charter operators to expand their clients' catch. Linda Benkin is executive director of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association.
The catch-sharing plan includes a mechanism for transfer between sectors that allows a charter operator to lease a small amount of halibut quota from a longline quota shareholder to offer more harvesting opportunity to a client who may want to harvest a second fish when there's a one fish bag limit in place.
The plan will take effect at the start of 2014. With help from Matt Lichtenstein in Petersburg, this is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
This is Morning Edition on Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. If you missed any of our stories, please log in to kcaw.org. It's 8:01.